Hello, this is Priya, reading Winthrop's transcript, published on Thursday, April 9, 2026. Winthrop's Library Kids Art Class Exhibition. Photos and Story by Marian Seltzer. Winthrop Public Library and Museum held an opening reception for its Kids Art Class Exhibition on March 26. Children 1st to 5th grade participated in the four-week program that was funded by grants from the Massachusetts Cultural Council and the Winthrop Cultural Council. Every Saturday, children experimented with mediums such as watercolors, oil pastels, Posca markers, and upcycled materials with art teacher Paige Covello. They collected found objects, shared them all around, and created sculptures, explained Covello. They did abstract paintings based on the work of Kimmy Cantrell, an African-American artist who works a lot with faces. They also each created a painting that tells about themselves and illustrates what is important or meaningful to them. 11-year-old Eva Rose Lopez especially enjoyed the social aspect of participating in the program and brainstorming with her friends. I try to base everything on something from my everyday life, so they will remind me of a piece of my home whenever I look at them, described Eva Rose, whose Posca marker on canvas piece Sunset Dog represents her bond with her Chihuahua Shih Tzu Chase. My painting has my dog and shows how he is independent and strong. The Kids Art Class exhibition will be on display at the Winthrop Public Library through May 18. Now to the next. Edwards secures key improvements for Winthrop and East Boston Ferry. With spring ferry service set to resume next week, State Senator Lydia Edwards is highlighting a series of key advancements that will improve reliability and accessibility for residents of East Boston and Winthrop. Beginning this season, all MBTA ferry routes will feature contactless payment, making boarding faster and more convenient for riders. These upgrades come as a part of a broader set of investments and policy changes championed by Senator Edwards to strengthen ferry service across the region. Ferry service is a critical mode of transportation for our coastal communities, said Senator Edwards. These improvements reflect our commitment to making commutes faster, more reliable, and more accessible for all especially working families in East Boston and Winthrop. Spring ferry schedule starts date East Boston Ferry. Weekday service begins Monday, March 30. Weekend service begins Saturday, April 4. Winthrop Ferry weekday service begins Monday, April 27. Weekend service begins Saturday, May 23. Delivering results for ferry riders. Senator Edwards has made ferry service a top priority, securing significant investments in policy wins in the FY26 budget and beyond, including service expansion planning, co-sponsored a provision directing the MBTA to study the cost and feasibility of expanding ferry services hours and adding new stops, including Liberty Plaza in East Boston, while requiring detailed ridership reporting to the legislature. Infrastructure investment secured $1.5 million for the planning and construction of a new ferry dock in the East Boston designated port area. Improved Winthrop service added two ferry boats to the Winthrop Quincy line, cutting commute times in half and introducing a long-awaited direct route between Boston and Winthrop. Ferry shuttle service delivered $50,000 for a Winthrop ferry shuttle service to better connect residents and reduce congestion, transforming ferry service in Winthrop. In partnership with local leaders and residents, Senator Edwards has helped transform ferry service in Winthrop by adding an airport stop, adding weekend service, transitioning operations to the MBTA, saving Winthrop over $100,000 a year, cutting commute times to and from Boston from approximately 50 minutes to 20 minutes, securing a dedicated ferry boat, the Harbor Gem, launching a seasonal shuttle to manage traffic, continuing to advocate for year-round service and fare equity. These investments are about more than just transportation. They are about equity and access, Edwards added. We are building a ferry system that truly works for our communities. For more information on ferry schedules, visit mbta.com/schedules/ferry. To learn more about contactless payments, visit mbta.com/fares/charlie/tap ride. Now to the next. Tree Committee looks for improved upkeep by Adam Swift. Winthrop Tree Warden Tom Dearden advocated for a better system for watering the town's tree at last week's town council meeting. Last summer when it was hot, we had newly planted trees to water them. I had to get 5-gallon buckets and fill them up at Belle Isle Cemetery, Speakot, and then hoist them up to the trunk of my car, said Dearden. I could fit 4 of them in there and carry them to water the new trees. My arms are getting longer. Dearden asked if the town could come up with some money for a watering tank that could be placed in the back of a pickup truck. Fill it with 100 gallons of water, have it gravity fed. This is not a big expensive thing, he said. We are going to need water this summer. Most likely it is going to be a long hot summer. Can we find some money for a watering tank? During last week's town council meeting, Tim Duplin of the Tree Committee said he was asked by his fellow members to speak about the trees in the back courtyard area of town hall. He said there was a question about who had jurisdiction when it came to caring for those trees. It is my understanding that if a tree is to be cut down, there needs to be a hearing, said Duplin. One of the reasons we have a tree committee and a tree warden is to make really good educated decisions on what should be cut down and what shouldn't be cut down. Duplin said that if there is an issue with the trees, they should be addressed and factors about the health of the trees taken into consideration. I sit here tonight and hear the budgetary concerns and I would like my piece of the pie, which is basically to plant more trees in the town, said Duplin. There are a lot of benefits to it. Increases property values, it mitigates global warming. There are a lot of benefits to trees and I would like to see the town look at putting more effort into their trees. Duplin noted that there are also a number of trees he has noticed in town that need to be pruned because they are in an investment in the future. If you could look at these trees and get together with the head of the DPW and come to a good decision with what should be done, said Duplin. Town manager Tony Marino noted that he has been working with the tree warden and the DPW on the pruning of the trees in back of town hall. Now to the next. Yarral Beach Dune Project Ahead of Schedule. By Adam Swift, the town was able to complete more coastal dune construction than it initially thought it would by the end of March as part of Yarral Beach management plan. At last week's town council meeting, town manager Tony Marino said the town completed about 500 feet of the coastal dune. Earlier in the month, Marino estimated that about 200 feet of the dune would be completed before work would have to stop on April 1 due to work having to stop because of the piping blower habitats. The construction of the coastal dune is part of the Yarral Beach Management Plan, which aims to maintain public access for swimming and recreation, maintain and protect the shorebird nesting habitat, and maintain the beach functions of storm damage prevention and flood control because it fronts the only transportation route to the Deer Island Wastewater Treatment Facility. Marina also noted that the town was able to get the plantings for the coastal dunes and have them planted at a lower cost than initially estimated. Dwight Dune, who drafted the beach management plan, we asked him to come down and make sure it was in compliance, said Marino. Marino said that there will be a meeting with neighbors to identify where 5 sets of stairs or access points to the beach may be placed as work on the coastal dune continues in September. We want to make sure we look at those 5 areas and make sure they are happy with those spots. Then we can come put in the ramps or the staircase, said Marino. In other business, Marino presented the town council with a 21-page response to the state attorney general regarding the state's lawsuit against Winthrop for not being in compliance with the MBTA 3A Communities Act. Council President Jim Latrice noted that the town needs to sit down with the state to discuss grants it has not received or been told it is not eligible for that were outside the bounds of those which it was told it could not receive by not being 3A compliant. He said some of the grants are now affecting public education and public safety. The governor is now choosing to affect kids and public safety and health department, said Latrice. The federal government is giving them money for the DESE, Department of Elementary and Secondary Education grants. The state just isn't distributing it. We have to watch for our citizens, and we cannot let our children be taken advantage of because of this. So they have to come to the table and discuss this with us, because this just can't go on forever and have them take everything we have. Now to the next. Fourth annual Project Play Spring Swap Shop, April 12. Get those kids and babies' closets and drawers cleared and bags ready for Project Play's annual Spring Swap Shop. This year's swap will be held in partnership with FKO After School in their beautiful facility at 233 Winthrop Street on Sunday, 4/12. Donation drop-off is from 1 to 3 and swap shop will be open from 3 to 5. Accepted items include all baby or kids or maternity clothing as accessories, as well as children's and baby toys, books and equipment. Please do not bring large or bulky items or clothing with holes or stains. There are textile recycling dumpsters in the parking lot for that. This is an all-ages event where swapping is not required for shopping. Questions? Email projectplaywinthrop@gmail.com. Now to the next. SCSD aids efforts to remove drugs, firearms from the streets. Special to the transcript. Members of the Suffolk County Sheriff's Department, SCSD, joined federal and local law enforcement in separate operations that ultimately removed more than 40 firearms and over 100 kilograms of illegal substances from the streets of several Massachusetts communities, including Suffolk County. Most recently, an SCST task force member assisted the Winthrop Police Department's criminal investigations and patrol divisions in executing multiple court-authorized search warrants at a residence in Winthrop that resulted in the arrest of an individual who was charged with trafficking in fentanyl and possession of cocaine and with intent to distribute. That same day, Winthrop Police Department's criminal investigations and patrol divisions were also reported to have recovered approximately 18.9 grams of suspected fentanyl and approximately 12 grams of suspected cocaine, along with multiple clear plastic bags, a digital scale, two cellular telephones, and more than $2,400 in cash. Additional suspected narcotics were recovered during the booking process. The United States Attorney of Massachusetts also recognized SCST's contribution to investigations that resulted in the arrest of 8 suspected members of Brockton-based Harvard Street Gang, who are now facing charges of illegal possession of more than 20 firearms, including machine guns with high-capacity magazines, hundreds of rounds of ammunition, and possession with intent to distribute a large volume of illicit substances, including cocaine and fentanyl. Investigations included assistance from police departments in Abington, Assiniboine, Ashland, Boston, Braintree, Bridgewater, Brockton, Chelsea, East Bridgewater, Medford, Quincy, Randolph, Raynham, Stoughton, Taunton, and West Bridgewater. And along with the SCST also included the Plymouth County Sheriff's Department, the Massachusetts Department of Correction, Plymouth, Norfolk, and Suffolk County District Attorney's Office, and Homeland Security Investigations. The announcement was made by U.S. Attorney Leah Foley, Ted Dogs, Special Agent in Charge of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Boston Division, and Colonel Jeffrey Noble, Superintendent of the Massachusetts State Police. We as the Suffolk County Sheriff's Department are proud of the work that our men and women do every day, both inside of our facilities and out in our neighborhoods to keep people safe, said SCST Special Sheriff Mark Lahorne. They, like others in our profession, do this work routinely with little to no fanfare or recognition, driven only by their dedication and commitment to the work of public safety. For more information about the work of the Suffolk County Sheriff's Department, visit www.scst-ma.org and follow us on social media. Now to the next. Roca Chelsea hosts job fair connecting employer partners with young people. Special to the transcript. On Wednesday, March 5, Roka Chelsea hosted a transitional employment program TEP project, TEP job fair at its Chelsea site, bringing together motivated young people and a broad network of employer partners, staffing agencies and workforce organizations. The event offered Roka participants a direct pathway to employment opportunities across industries, including construction, transportation, environmental services and more, sectors that have seen some of the fastest job growth in the Massachusetts. The job fair drew representatives from Youth Build Boston, Mass Hire, Chelsea, Bridges for Returning Citizens, Community Family, MWRA, Labor Now, Express Labor, Wicked Staffing Solutions, EDA Staffing Agency, Advantage Labor Solutions, and Wash Cycle, a cross-sector network united by a shared commitment to expanding access to economic opportunity for young people who have faced significant barriers. Young people who participate in the job fair have completed paid work experience through Roka's transitional employment program, where they work alongside supervisors in structured crews while simultaneously building the behavioral and emotional skills needed to thrive long-term in the workplace. Central to this preparation is Roka's Rewire CBT model, an evidence-based cognitive behavioral approach that equips young people with tools to manage stress, regulate emotions, navigate conflict and with co-workers or supervisors, and show up consistently even when life is hard. Getting a job is a milestone, but it's not the finish line. What we are really working toward is stability, and that requires a different kind of preparation. Through TEP, our young people have already put in hundreds of hours of real work, and through Rewire CBT, they have built the skills to handle the situations that often derail people. The job fair is an essential transition point where the skills our participants have worked so hard to build can really translate to opportunity, said Christian Morales, a basic needs specialist at Roka. For many of Roka's young people, this event introduced new possibilities. The job fair is opening my eyes to new things and opportunities. I didn't know there was an adult daycare center, for example, so now I feel like I have options, said Oscar, a Roka participant. Job seekers also reflected on how their time in TEP changed their outlook entirely. I have learned a lot from Roka, and they have prepared me for a future career by teaching me great work ethics. They have taught me to stay calm through my situation, stick with it, and act on my values. I also learned landscaping, how to use weed whackers, lawn mowers, backpack blowers, and more. Now I'm ready to work, said TJ, a Roka participant. What makes Roka participants stand out to employers is precisely what is hardest to teach: the ability to stay composed under pressure, to navigate difficult dynamics with a supervisor or colleague, and to keep showing up even when the circumstances of life make it tempting to walk away. Through hundreds of hours of paid work experience and consistent practice of Rewire CBT skills, Roka's young people have already demonstrated what many employers spend years hoping to find in a new hire. Employer partners who attended reflected on why they keep coming back. I love having employees who come from Roka because they really care about what they do. They create such strong relationships and they value their work. It's important to have young people like that, said Kevin Berry, program director at the Community of Family. For many of the young people Roka serves, this job fair represents far more than a hiring event. It is a critical moment in a longer journey toward economic stability. Roka's workforce development programming is designed to address the real and compounding barriers that have historically kept young people locked out of the labor market. Involvement in the justice system, gaps in work history, and limited access to networks and resources for an effective job search. By connecting participants directly with employers who are prepared to offer real opportunities, Roka is working to dismantle those barriers in a comprehensive, evidence-based way. Founded in 1988, Roka's mission is to be a relentless force in disrupting incarnation, poverty, and racism by engaging the young adults, police, and systems at the center of urban violence in relationship to address trauma, find hope, and drive change. Now to the next. Project Bread CEO Erin McAleer rolls burritos for a cause at Anna's Taqueria. On Thursday, March 19, Project Bread partnered with Anna's Takiera to host a successful community fundraiser at the restaurant's Brookline location. The event brought together supporters, community members, and local leaders for an evening dedicated to raising awareness and funds to combat food insecurity across Massachusetts. Project Breadman President and CEO Erin McElley joined the Anna's team behind the counter, rolling burritos and engaging directly with guests, adding a unique and interactive element to the evening. A portion of all in-person entries sales during the event was donated to the 2026 Walk for Hunger, helping to support Project Bread's statewide efforts to connect families to reliable food resources and advocate for policies that make nutritious meals more accessible. McAlee, alongside Anna's Takiera Marketing Director Laurel O'Keefe, spoke with attendees about the growing urgency of addressing food insecurity, as hundreds of thousands of families across Massachusetts continue to face challenges affording food. The event highlighted the importance of community partnerships in advancing solutions from direct support services like Project Bread's Food Source Hotline to long-term policy advocacy. The event also underscored Anna's Takiera's ongoing commitment to community impact and demonstrated how local businesses can play a meaningful role in supporting food access initiatives. The restaurant team will continue its support by participating in Project Bread's upcoming Walk for Hunger, the organization's signature community fundraiser and one of Massachusetts' most enduring anti-hunger events. Registration is now open for the 50th annual Walk for Hunger, taking place Sunday, May 3 on Boston Common. This one-day family-friendly event will bring together thousands of participants for a 3-mile loop featuring food, entertainment, and activities for all ages. The walk continues to serve as a powerful platform for turning compassion into action, supporting Project Bread's statewide effort to advance food security and expand access to nutritious meals for children and families. In addition to individual participants, anti-hunger organizations across the Commonwealth are invited to join through Project Bread's co-fundraising program. The Commonwealth, which enables partners to raise funds for their own missions while contributing to a broader collective impact. Community members can register to walk in person or virtually, start a personal or team fundraising page, or make a donation by visiting projectbread.org/walk. For more information, email walk@theratproject.org. People experiencing food insecurity should call into Project Bread's toll-free food source hotline, 1-800-645-8333. Again, 1-800-645-8333, which provides confidential assistance to connect with food resources, including SNAP benefits in 180 languages and for the hearing impaired. For more information, visit www.project.org, projectbread.org/get-help. Project Bread, the leading statewide food security nonprofit, connects people and communities in Massachusetts to reliable sources of foods while advocating for policies that make food more accessible so that no one goes hungry. For more information, visit www.projectbread.org. Now to the next. Massachusetts House passes the Protect Act, special rule transcript. The Massachusetts House of Representatives passed the Protect Act, landmark legislation led by State Representative Judith Garcia and State Representative Andy Vargas, chair of the Massachusetts Black and Latino Legislative Caucus. In partnership with the caucus, the bill establishes clear statewide standards governing how state and local systems interact with federal immigration enforcement, strengthening due process protections while ensuring public safety and trust in the Commonwealth institutions. Originally filed by Representative Garcia and Representative Vargas, the Protect Act delivers a practical and legally sound response to growing concerns across Massachusetts, particularly in communities like Chelsea, where residents have raised alarm about the impact of federal immigration enforcement in courthouses and the broader justice system. This legislation is a direct response to what I have seen and heard as the state representative for Chelsea and Everett, said Representative Judith Garcia. Residents shared urgent concerns about what was happening in our courthouses, including fears about showing up for their own cases. I met with families who were directly impacted and visited the Plymouth Correctional Facility, where I spent hours speaking with individuals who had been detained. Their experience CIS plays a critical role in shaping this bill. 9 months ago, I was appointed to serve on an immigration task force charged with developing a response that is both legally sound and grounded in the authority we have at the state level. From the beginning, my focus has been clear. We cannot control federal immigration policy and we cannot pursue blanket approaches that fall outside our jurisdiction. But we do have a responsibility to ensure that our state systems, especially our courts, operate safely, fairly, and with integrity. I was proud to be co-lead the filing of the Protect Act alongside Representative Vargas to deliver a bill that is both practical and enforceable. This legislation establishes clear standards for what happens in our courthouses, protects due process, and ensures that all residents can access our justice system without fear. For communities like Chelsea, Everett, and across the Commonwealth, this is about restoring trust, upholding the rule of law, and making sure our institutions work for everyone. After constituents raised concerns last year, Representative Garcia called for an investigation into courthouse's conditions. The trial court confirmed the increasing challenges facing court operations as a result of federal immigration enforcement activity. The trial court submitted a letter of support for this legislation, emphasizing the high number of ICE arrests within their courthouses over the past 15 months. In 2025, there were at least 614 arrests within courthouses across the Commonwealth. Since the start of this year, they have documented another 137 courthouse arrests by ICE. They expressed how prohibiting ICE arrests without a judicial warrant within the courthouse will allow the judicial branch to operate free from external interference and ensure that courthouses remain safe and accessible to all court users. We are grateful for the leadership and swift action of our legislature on the Protect Act. These efforts build back trust and sense of safety in our community. The Protect Act ensures that families in Chelsea feel safe and supported. It reinforces established constitutional rights. It does not weaken public safety. It strengthens it. We will continue moving forward, building a strong Commonwealth that protects all of our residents, said Chelsea City Manager Fidel Malzes. We were extremely happy to be in the State House witnessing this great day when the House passes this Protect Act, said Gladys Vega, President and CEO of La Collaborativa. This bill was drafted and based on feedback from our communities. This bill will limit ICE presence in our courtrooms and ensure that witnesses and victims can continue to come forward and participate in our judicial system with no fear. We are also extremely grateful for reforming the certification process of the UNT visas, which will help many in our communities cooperate in investigations of crime and human trafficking. This legislation is very needed for cities like Chelsea and Gateway Cities, and we urge the Senate to pass it quickly. This was Priya reading Winthrop's transcript. Thank you for listening. Thank you so much.